Now, for anybody that's never been here, and by the way, I don't even feel like I'm new this morning. I've been here for about a couple of months now, and it's like, wow, I've been here straight for several months and not gone, and that will soon change. But thank God Howdy will be here, and the band, and anybody else taking care of things while I go out and preach the gospel to the college finals at Casper, Wyoming, and oh gosh, just everywhere we go, all the way up to, you know, Deadwood, South Dakota, and all the way in Arizona and all those areas that I get to go and just be around the rodeo people and minister to them. But anyway, things go good. So thank you for being here. But I clapped during tithes and offerings because I was raised in church where we didn't really say anything about it. Our preacher was a little afraid to talk about finances. And so finally I started digging into the Word and found out that it talks about finances a lot of times. And I want to know why, you know, I had to have a job in college and a rodeo scholarship and a singing scholarship and a Pell Grant and a student loan and all those things. And I wanted to know, what does the Word of God say about finances? You know, it was Him that really began to give us the principles of how we're supposed to live as Christians through sowing and reaping. And I just got into it in college. I started studying it. And it was from that time that my finances just at one time were so bad. And then when I started learning how to live by God's Word and His economy, oh man, in all the years of ministry, I've never had a financial difficulty, ever. Now, that'll be something to get excited about, especially if you're me. Because the difficulties were a lot before that. And here's what it was. One day, I started thinking about tithing. And y'all new people, I don't take a salary here. And, you know, we only operate if God puts it on someone's heart to give to us, then that's great. If not, then we're not, there's no control except just trust God. You know, ask Him what to do. Which means if I make you mad, step on your toes, then I just won't give my tithe to that little preacher rascal, you know. But what it does is it just causes me and hopefully teaches you to just live by faith. Amen. And man, he's a great daddy. He's a great provider. Well, one day I started thinking about the tithe and how it talks about 10%. And I wasn't going in 10% of net, 10% of gross. You know, it didn't matter to me back then because I didn't have very much. I just, you know, if I had $1,000, then I understood 10% of that was 100. And I'll never forget that my bills were well above what I had. And that 10% then meant that I was going to have to take some bill money away to be able to give to the Lord, that 10%. It was that day when I said, Father, I'm trusting You. And I gave that 10%. That's the very time that my finances started doing this. Because what happened is I finally started giving trust to Him. He became my provider instead of my jobs and those kind of things. And even rodeo. Rodeo that can become a provider to people. And so I saw down in Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 in the message today. And I saw where Jesus was walking, Matthew 4 and 18. And He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And this is what He said unto them, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. Really, all Jesus was saying is, hey, I know you're fishermen. That's your business. I mean, that's how you're being provided for. But if you'll trust Me, I'll take care of you, and I'll make you fishers of men. Really, that's what he's saying to all of us this morning, is just trust him. Don't put your faith in that job and that being your sole provider. No, put it in God, and then he'll bless you in that job. He'll bless you with promotion, or he'll bless you with employees that actually work hard to try to build that business. In other words, it's just putting our trust in him, just like these two men did, fishermen, having to leave their business to follow him. Well, I'm not saying leave your business. I'm saying put your trust in him, because he will take care of you in Jesus' name. So in that bucket, and if you're a visitor and you filled out that card, send it with someone or bring it down here. Y'all come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Casey, would you come and share a special with us? Would y'all just welcome Casey as he comes and sings to us? God bless you, man.
Carrie.
Oh, is it Carrie?
Carrie.
Okay. It's Carrie. Hey, Howdy. Where's Howdy? It's Carrie. His name. Yeah, you put Casey. So I was going on what you said. Would you apologize to him after? Oh, you're mature enough, you know, to understand,
what?
Right?
You know what?
Just don't call me late for
That's
supper
exactly
or whatever.
Right. Just don't call me late for dinner. We'll be good. Hey, bless y'all this morning. How's everybody? I'd like to share this. This song really touches my heart, and I hope it'll touch y'all. I rode this long and lonesome, narrow trail of life alone. A man condemned by foolish pride to ramble and to roam. Thought a man to be a man must make it on his own. I rode this long and lonesome, narrow trail of life alone. Across the high and lofty peaks to the valleys dark and low. No rest, no love, no peace I found as onward I would go. In search of light where no light shines, a man without a home. I rode this long and lonesome, narrow trail of life alone. Then one night in the valley of the shadow where I'd come, my heart, my soul, my all cried out, my God, what have I done? I've gone as far as I can go, and yet I've gone nowhere. If it's not too late for me, please hear my humble prayer. Somewhere in that midnight hour, voice called out to me. I'd heard that same voice many times in a soft and gentle plea. If you want salvation and a friend that's tried and true, I'll ride this long and lonesome, narrow trail of life with you. And now I cross the mountains and the valleys as before, but with his love that lights my way and peace forevermore. He walked the same trail I now ride 2,000 years ago. He died and rose to light my path. He knows the way to go. Now I have a friend for life and all eternity. God rides this long and lonesome narrow trail of life with me. God rides this long and lonesome narrow trail of life with me.
Amen. Good. Thank you, brother. Hey, good job. Thank you, Kerry. God bless you, man. Thanks for doing it.
Absolutely.
Mean it. Amen. Well, with a big round of applause, Kids Church and Youth Group is dismissed out the back end. They'll tell you where to go. Just head on. Come on, church. Give them a big round. There's two reasons that I have you clap for a kids' church. It's number one, the teachers are going to need it. It's encouragement. And it's an honor to be able to speak into the lives of our youth as well as our kids. I mean, they have fun. They get outside and they have fun, but we also teach them. We train them up in the ways of the Lord, and I think that's pretty important. Amen? So, how many brought your Bibles? Raise your Bible. Let me see all the Bibles. Love it when you... There's your phone. Phone. How Bibles? What is that saying? Because I see some with covers over the Bibles, and I love that saying, a Bible that's torn apart is a life that's not. Amen. That means you've gotten into that Bible, and really that kind of opens up what we're going to talk about this morning. And so before we do that, let me pray over the finances that people gave to the Lord, and as well as the Word this morning. Father, number one, I lift up all the givers that gave this morning or any time. I thank you, Lord, for your word that says in Malachi to prove you through the tithes and the offerings and first fruits and alms and those different ways that we give just to be a blessing sometimes, just when people need help. We want to be able to be a blessing to people. And Father, thank you, Lord, for prospering your people just so that we can get out of debt and we can have to be able to give to those in need. And Father, thank you for that. So bless the people that gave and just return it to them 30, 60, or 100-fold. And I just say 100-fold in Jesus' name. We also pray over this word that, as the word says, it's truth. And it makes us free. It doesn't return void. And so as we bring forth this message, Father, you can interrupt me anytime, sir. Do anything you want to do in this place or in the hearts of even the people that are watching. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
I want to minister a message that the Lord gave me this week, just to be able to get us ready. And I always say that with as much boldness as I can bring it forth, that we need to be ready to know what to do in these last days. We need to know how do we respond when all hell tries to break loose in our lives. And it does at times. We have opportunity through temptation constantly. And we need to know, what does the Word of God say about what I'm going through, what you're going through? Is there any hope? And I'm telling you, there is. And it's all found here in the Word of God. I don't know what title I would give this message, except maybe, you know, stay hooked in the Word of God, because we're going to need it in these last days. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to just bring this message out. Obviously, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was being tempted by Satan. And everybody knows the story of Satan coming to, try to tempt Jesus at his lowest point. And I say lowest, really it wasn't, but it was when he was on a fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, how many of you have ever been on a fast? Let me see your hand. If you ever fasted. See, some of you have. I tried to fast. I'm just not a real big faster, you know. But I thought one day when I felt like I needed to hear from God, and is that a word, faster? Anyway, that I would fast. And so I thought, I didn't really know how to do it. We was living in level land. I was married to Jamie just not very long, but, you know, we still needed direction. We had just started the church in Lubbock, and man, there was so many people giving their lives to Jesus. And it was right about the time that, you know, we hadn't really decided to turn that church over to the pastors yet, and we didn't know exactly what to do. We felt like it was probably time, but we just needed to hear from the Lord. And I'm talking about the revival in Lubbock at that time at West Texas Church at the Barn, was what we called, and still there today, just Ted and Jan Currington, just wonderful pastors. Several hundred go to that church still to this day. Just really, it's a thriving church that God allowed us to start 20 plus years ago. And it was at the time when still so many people were giving their lives to Jesus. Y'all probably heard me say it if you've been around me very long, but in Lubbock, the FBI they had a case trying to, you know, we was on a watch list. And I didn't know this until, you know, well after us being investigated, our church. Because they thought we was a cult. Because so many wild, wild hombres. I mean, dope heads and drug dealers was giving their lives to Jesus and changing. That they literally thought we was a cult. Until they found out that we know Jesus is a great deliverer. Amen. Amen. And but we still needed some direction. So I thought, well, you know, I've heard that you need to fast and, you know, really seek the Lord and fast so that your flesh doesn't, you know, control you. Because how many of you know the flesh can? I mean, it wants to do a lot of things. So I started fasting, and I gave myself one day to fast. And that's 24 hours, right? And so I started fasting. It wasn't that hard. The first 8 hours. But when I woke up from the sleep, I was going along, and I mean, not a big deal, drinking a little bit of water, and about, you know, hour 18, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I started lacking cauliflower. I started lacking things I hated. I said, just give me that. I will eat that. I don't care what it tastes like. Spinach, not a problem. Put it up. I started liking those things that I'd never liked. But I'm here to tell you, at hour 24, I ate a big old bowl of cereal. I didn't care if it was Lucky Charm. I didn't care. I mean, I've tried all this stuff. But here's Jesus, me just lasting a quick 24 hours. People do it for 30 days. Here Jesus was on a 40-day fast, as verse 1 says. Then Jesus was led up, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread. I want to just stop there because I want to set this message up to help us understand really what Jesus is actually saying right here to all of us. In other words, if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then we operate different than we used to operate before we gave our lives to Jesus. The Bible says old things pass away and behold, all things become, say it with me, new. But they won't become new until you find out and you get to studying and getting into the Word of God who you really are in Christ Jesus. It'll still be the same way. For example, some of you probably heard this before, but I'll never forget in doing a service in Canyon 20 plus years ago, and a woman came in. There was a lot. This service started in an apartment. Just wanted to have a quick Bible study. And then it went from an apartment to a coffee shop in the middle of Canyon, Texas. And it outgrew the coffee shop, only fit 30, into a place on the college, Wesley Foundation. It's a Methodist place that they let us. And it fit about 150. And then it soon moved to a gymnasium, is how fast this little outreach, or what we called the Start Bible Study, was just progressing. But I'll never forget at the gymnasium when I was preaching the Word of God, and a lady comes in the side door, and she sits on the front. And when I started singing, all the way through, when I said amen at the end, she was bawling, crying. And I knew something was going on in her life. And, of course, she was quick to give her life to Jesus after, you know, the end of that message. And I did the salvation plan, and, man, she shot her hand up and gave her life to Jesus. And we were so thrilled, man. Well, come to find out that she came up to me afterwards just excited about giving her life to Jesus. And there was a lot of college kids, because I was really ministering to lots of those college kids on that campus. But, you know, I would say 40% town folks, older folks, and then 60% college kids. And they were all right here, and here she comes. Because they had been watching her, crying the whole service. Something was going on in her life. She comes up to me, and she says, praise God, I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm just full of joy. And then all of a sudden, she goes and, praise the Lord, I don't have to blankety blank deal with those blankety blank people any longer. And all those, and I'm talking cussing. Woo-wee. And she just gave her life to Jesus. And all those college kids were like, oh, you hearing this woman? Now the old religious people started looking at her like, oh, she didn't really give her life to Jesus. Boy, I had to do some correction that day. I said, yes, she did. She gave her life to Jesus, but her mouth hasn't been saved yet, which was the truth. Because if you don't ever get into the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus, you can be born again of the Spirit and have the helmet of salvation on and then still act like you've always acted until you start finding out who you are in Him. And when you get into this Word, man, it changes you, see. There was a study that I was checking out this study, and it was an international study, not just in America, but everywhere. And it was an experiment to measure the pace of life. In other words, how busy people are today. Because when I was young, they didn't do all these sports on Sundays, and they didn't do them on Wednesdays. I don't know. Maybe it was just down here in the Bible Belt, but we didn't do a lot of sports on Sunday, and we didn't do them on Wednesday. It was just, it seemed like even schools would do things on any other day than Wednesday during the week, because that was the day that we went to church. Now, obviously, even in rodeo, everything is on the weekend. Thank God in rodeo, though, 1970s is when God started moving church to the rodeo, because we knew that, you know, we wasn't being churched. I don't see that really in baseball and you know, football and all these other sports that are, you know, on the weekend. If there is, correct me. But not when my kids are going. I don't ever see a soccer, you know, church service, or, you know, at the baseball games, we're going to stop and we're going to do church because a lot of people can't go to church. We're here playing baseball. I don't see that. And so I understand now why a lot of people are not churched like I was growing up. The busyness of life. And here in this study, when they studied thousands of people and watched them for several years, people that have a fast-paced life, number one, were less likely to help others. I mean, I remember when there was someone broke down on the side of the road, we would stop and we would ask them if they needed any help. Nowadays, we pass them because we're too busy and we're hoping that someone behind will have enough time to help them. We found out in this study that people that have fast-paced lives have higher rates of heart disease. Number three, I found out that the average life expectancy of a fast-paced person is in their 50s. I mean, you'll see them dying young nowadays. Most of them have prescription drug abuse. You know why? Because, well, I'm so busy that I can't get my mind to slow down and rest at night. So I have to take medicine or some type of a drug to help me go to sleep. Now, thank God I don't, but that's how people are. This busy, fast-paced life, you find out that the people that have this fast-paced life, traffic accidents abound because they're not alert. They're thinking about what I need to do next, you see. Now, here in Matthew, Jesus begins to say some words like it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why do we really need natural food for these bodies? Well, it's pretty obvious. It's because our bodies need to maintain through food strength and health, right? But our spiritual parts, our spiritual lives need the Word of God every day just so that we can maintain spiritual health. So I wanted to real fast study a couple of, maybe just one phrase that Jesus himself said right here when he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And I just want to break down just that phrase, by bread alone. I looked up the word by, very simple word. It's a Greek word called epi. And it just means on. And then that next word, every, means every, or both, you know, all. Because really when you compound the two together in the Greek, that's what it literally means, all. Or in other words, the smallest, most minuscule detail. And then when you add word to it, by, live by bread alone, by the word, by every word. It literally means, it's a Greek word, the word word is a Greek word named rhema, called rhema. And rhema just depicts living words. So really when you put this phrase together, by every word, it can be better rendered this way. Feeding on the constant stream of Rhema, living words coming toward him from the mouth of God, and by consuming all of it, every little piece down to the smallest detail, is really what Jesus is saying to you and I about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, it's one thing to just be fed spirit or fed naturally for this body, but it's another thing to allow our spirit man or spirit person to be, you know, nurtured. And I'm telling you, in these last days, it needs to be nurtured more than anything. So let's just talk about a few things here. Because really what this is saying is it's to take every word of Scripture into our hearts and souls and then feed on it. Joshua, you know, says it like this: meditate on the word of God day and night. But here we're living in such a fast-paced world that we don't have time to pray. We don't make time to get into the word of God. I will do it on Sunday because that's, you know, I'll go to church to hopefully make myself feel better and more spiritual. When in all reality, our lives are being stolen, killed, and destroyed, and we don't know what to do. But here God is trying to say, no, no, no. Man shall not live by just the bread alone in your body, but it needs to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, the Bible is the mouth of God. And so we've got to start learning to get into the Bible. Why? What does the word do for us? Number one, the word has power in it. It's a word called dunamis power. Because man, in Acts, when you really study it out, and the word begins to tell us that man, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive the power to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, to a believer that is a little bit timid about telling someone about Jesus, oh no, understand the power that lives on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Oh man, that's what gives you that power to not care about maybe the persecution you might get for telling someone about Jesus. No, it just gives you that power that I don't care. I am blessed according to Matthew. You jump right over to Matthew 5, read about the Beatitudes. Blessed shalt thou be when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't get persecuted a lot anymore. I think it's because I just know who I am in Christ Jesus. I don't have to tell anybody that I'm a pastor. I don't have to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. I figured if they're guessing if I'm a Christian, something is wrong. I just walk in it. I just know who I am. I know my call. But yet, do you? When all hell breaks loose, do you really know that there's power in the Word of God? Look at number two that I wrote down. What does the Word do for us? It brings nourishment to our lives. Because as food brings nourishment, so does the Word of God into our spiritual lives. And we're needing that nourishment today more than ever. Why? Well, because the enemy, according to John 10:10, is trying to steal, say it with me, kill and destroy our lives. He's trying to get us to meditate on all the problems of this life instead of meditating on the nourishment of the Word of God that will actually get us out of all the crud that we're going through. The Bible tells us that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'll never forget this man that was in the hospital. The doctors told him he was dying. Not very long. I mean, he didn't have just a few short months to live. His life was over according to the doctors. And someone in his family had the wisdom to know what that scripture meant by a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And in this case, they went and got the Three Stooges. You ever seen those shows? Who hasn't ever seen the Three Stooges? You?
No, my dad wouldn't let it be showed on the
He still won't. Well, then find something else. But the Three Stooges were funny. And they were clean. I mean, they do stupid stuff and make you laugh out of stupidity. But this man started laughing in the hospital bed. And then they noticed he kept living. All because of the joy that he was, I mean, just laughing and laughing. I love it. You ever just felt real stupid? And I remember driving to the rodeos when late at night, and there was always a man, and it was like on the AM channels, this Christian guy, and he would be counseling people that are just desperate, man. And at the end of his counseling session, I'll never get, and I've done this before, but he would always go, "All right, say it with me, ha ha, ho ho, he he. Say it again, ma'am. Say it again, sir, ha ha." And they would go, "Ha ha, ho ho, ho ho, he he. Now say it faster, ha ha, ho ho." And all of a sudden they start, "Ha ha ha, ha, ho ho, he he, ha ha." And all he got them to feeling so dumb. And I was doing that in the truck driving all by myself. And I felt so dumb that all of a sudden I got joy. You see, there's something about a merry heart. Because the enemy wants you to be sad. He wants you to be brokenhearted constantly. He wants marriages to be destroyed. He wants you to get in depression. Because if he gets you in depression, you're not going to be meditating on the power of the Word of God. No, you're way too busy to understand all this stuff. It's going to bring nourishment, man, when you get into it, though. But what about number three? Of what the Word of God will do for us. Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying to Satan. Oh, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word, the power, the dunamis power that will change your life. Number three, that it'll help you grow and develop. All right, so think about this. You got a little kid. He's learning how to play baseball. They start off in what we call T-ball, right? He gets this old bat, and they put this ball onto this little stand. This is when, man, you're little. And it's teaching this boy how to do everything right. Same thing in roping. When you start out roping, the very first thing you need to do when you want to rope is learn how to ride a horse. Because if you can't ride a horse, you're not going to be able to rope an animal. So you start learning, how do I ride this horse? And if someone trains you correctly, they'll teach you how to use your legs. And when your butt tries to come down, that you tighten your legs up so it just eases it down. And you start learning how to get the flow of that horse. And you start using balance, right? Then when you're ready to rope and you know how to ride a horse at a trot and at a lope and at a run or whatever, then you start learning the basics of a swing. And you start learning how to swing a rope where that loop stays open. It doesn't figure eight over itself. It just you learn how to keep it open. And you learn how to use your wrist and your arm to break that rope over so that it doesn't knot up. It doesn't rope yourself. That it actually does what it's supposed to do, you see. But you're learning this at the very start, just like a kid with a baseball. He's learning it. But then there comes a time when there's no more ball on a little stand. And he's going to have to grow and develop on how to see a ball being thrown his direction. And so you start seeing a kid learn eye-hand coordination. I want to see that ball hit that bat. I want to see that bat hit that ball. And what are we taught in baseball? You're always supposed to keep your eye on that ball. And before you know it, that kid has learned that wherever that ball goes, that bat needs to go. And that's why you see in young ages that, man, they're going to hit things that are way above their head. And they're going to try to hit it way below. Why? Well, because they're seeing that ball wherever it is. And then one day they develop even more. And they start learning how to see a ball, and they can decide, well, that ball is too high, it's out of the strike zone, or they can tell it's too low. And they start learning it, and all of a sudden they practice enough that when that ball comes straight in there, man, they can hit that thing. They know when to lay off of it. They know when to hit it. And then as you develop more in practice, you start learning how to decide when on the speed of the pitch. Is it a fastball or is it a ball that's coming a little bit slower? Is it a ball that is curving? And man, you're watching it, but it's all developing, see. You're developing. And then when you get to the pros, if you ever get to that level, man, you have practiced so much that you're constantly, you know what's going on in that game. And you, if you ever watch a pro, even rodeo, they never quit learning. They're constantly wanting to learn something different. How do I get better? I mean, I've been a professional team roper for a long time, and now 6 years ago transitioned to steer roping that you'll see next week at the rodeo. And I mean, year after year, when I was really at the biggest part of my game, you could still go decently close to a steer, rope it, handle it, and let a heeler come in there and rope the 2 feet. Not now. It has all changed. Now you have to throw about 30 foot of rope. You throw it right out of the box, and there's enough people that have mastered it that, man, they can throw it from the box, and they can throw it to, I mean, from they can throw it from me to Daryl and have it caught and handle the steer and be 3 or 4 seconds. Everything has changed. If I started team roping again now, I would probably have to get a whole lot closer than 30 foot. I mean, when I throw my 30 foot, it might hit the man in the hat back there. Because I haven't developed in that area. I've transitioned over to a different event called steer roping, where you really have to get closer to set that run up. It's the same with the Word of God. We have to develop it, y'all. We've got to stop being like Ephesians talks about, the babies on milk. Don't you think that if you've been saved for 30 years, it's time to get off the milk? It's because no one taught you how to develop yourself in the Word of God. No, we just allowed the busyness of life to not allow us to truly get into that Word of God and meditate on it day and night. We don't know what to do when again, things go wrong in our life. If it's financial, what do we do first? Bank. Let's go to the bank. Banker, I need some help, sir. Instead of saying, no, my Father in heaven owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. His streets are gold, y'all. He has more than you can fathom. All you've got to do is get into his kingdom principles and live that way. What if the doctor says you've only got 6 months to live? What are you going to do? Are you going to accept that? Okay. Call the family. Bring them all in. Kids, I need to set y'all down. I need to tell you that the doctor has diagnosed me with cancer and I only have 6 months to live. I wanted y'all to know first. Is that how you're going to do? Because people do it all the time. Or if you understand who you are in the Word of God and what it actually says in here, kind of like 2 Peter that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick. You'll recover. You mean that stuff's really in the Bible? Yeah, because we've got to get to a developing our spiritual life more than just the helmet of salvation and thanking God that we're going to heaven if we do die. Or the things that people think like, well, praise God, I'll actually get healed when I get to heaven. No, you don't need healing in heaven. You need it here. We don't need peace in heaven. The Prince of Peace is already there. His name's Jesus. You know where we need peace? You've heard me say it. Say it. Right here. I don't need joy in heaven. I need it here. Catholics, how many Catholics do I have? Raise Catholic. Let me see your hand. Raise it up. Say it with me, class. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth. Why do I have to say this over and over in church? His will is that we operate on earth like it is in heaven. Give me this day our daily bread, and so on. Because we needed to develop and grow in the kingdom of God. We don't need to just have a helmet of salvation on and then we don't inherit kingdom principles like peace and joy. No, that's when we go and try to find it in a prescription drug. Come on, say amen a little bit. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Because it's time that someone is bold enough to say it's time to mature and grow and stop being so busy that we can't even get into the Word of God. Amen. You see, this will help us, man. So that when something happens and we come under some adversity, that I don't take, well, I'm just a schizophrenic. That's just how I was made. No, no, no. You say I break that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah, but I just get angry. It's just, you know, I got it down from daddy and my mama because they were angry. Well, how about breaking that curse, that generational curse in Jesus' name? If you just understood and picked up this Bible, you would find out that it actually says break that generational curse in Jesus' name. How do you do that? Out of your mouth, how do you get saved? You say, Jesus, come into my life. Romans 10:9. I confess you as Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus, you from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. I'm born again. You do that with generational curses. I break every generational curse from my family down. If it was alcohol, I break that addiction to alcohol off of my family in Jesus' name. It's not going to come down to my generation. If it's drugs, break that curse of that addiction, because that's the spirit, y'all. It's a spirit that is trying to come down and just continue down into your heritage, your family, down to your seed. So that, well, you know, grandmama had breast cancer. So I guess, you know, it's going to be me. I'm going to have breast cancer. Okay, if you want to live that way, you can. But the Word of God says you don't have to live that way. Amen. You don't have to live by what, my great great granddad was an alcoholic. Matter of fact, he owned a big ranch in New Mexico. This is on my dad's side, right? We're not going to get into your side, Mama. It's probably good. But this is on dad's side. Papa. That's what we called him, Papa. I can remember him. I was a little bitty before he died. I mean, I didn't know him really. Papa. He lost the ranch, didn't he? From drinking in a poker game. Okay. So what if that continues down into the next generation? Someone turn on the air conditioner. They're... Because I better not see anybody sleeping. I'm coming at you. Someone turn on up the air conditioner. We'll get this place cooled off. The point I'm trying to make, it's 11:45, by the way. I just checked. I'm starting to see people waving and sleep. What? You sleeping in my service? If you sleep in my service, you slap yourself. Something's wrong. Start burning the wood. Because it's wet. Amen. Got to get it dried off. Listen to me. We've got to start getting into that Word of God so that we don't take possession of things that does not rightly belong to us believers. That's why Jesus Christ died. Amen. You don't have to die from heart disease. Well, that's in your, you know, when you go to the doctor. Has anybody in your family had heart disease? You know, and it's so tempting. I want to say it, but, well, they did, but that curse has been broke. Well, that'll freak a doctor out. That nurse will be like, what'd you say? Huh? I refuse, y'all, to have a religious church where the truth is not spoken. This is real life here. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We live by this Bible and everything in it. We don't play around with this church stuff, because that's when the enemy steals, kills, and destroys our life. And then we wonder why Daddy went and committed suicide. Why is those ranchers that I know committing suicide? Because they don't have rain on their land and they can't feed their goats and sheep and cattle. But if they would just dare get into this Word of God and find out the true joy that they can live in, they don't have to die young. They don't have to mess their whole family up by being selfish enough to kill themselves and check out, instead of just bowing up to that devil and saying, you are not going to mess with me, because the Bible says that Jesus that lives on the inside of me has a name above every name. All right. Anyway, get excited. The very last thing, and I'll close, is by Jesus saying, no, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. That word will cause you, number four, it'll help you prosper in health. And it'll help you prosper in finances. I mean, you work and 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 work. I mean, you're away from your family constantly. You're working, 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 working. That's a good thing, because it seems like it's gone the opposite, where kids don't work much anymore. Am I right? There's not much work ethic. That's why you see the problems at the border, because them guys coming across that border. And a prime example is my dear friend Jay. I call him Jay because I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I mean, his first name. Well, I kind of do, right, Jay? Stand up. Yes, I want y'all to see him. He's from Brazil. That's Jay. All right. Thank you, Jay. And Jay knows really good English. But I'm here to tell you, that is a hard-working man. And he's over here till July on a visa. And he's away from his wife and his 8-year-old boy. He's coming over here to work. Why? Well, because no one else will do it. I ain't going to dig that ditch. You were, if you was me when I was young. It was either dig the ditch or die. My dad kill you. I kill you, but I made you. I will kill you. And we don't see that much anymore. That just that worth ethic, man. When I started in the ministry, y'all, I was everything. I was the guy that would clean the cell barn where we was doing church. It was so dirty from the sales going on, and that's where we did church when we started Lubbock and just different places. Odessa, I'd go in there. I was the cleaner. I would go in there and I'd wipe off every single seat. I didn't want people, you know, sitting out on dust. I set the sound up, and the sound was mine. It's the same as I started this church at Smiling V Ranch over there. The sound was mine. Everything was mine. I bought it. The church was just brand new. I couldn't afford it. I bought everything. I did everything. And then finally, after over a year, people started saying, hey, can I come help you? Let me do that so you can prepare for your message. I said, thank you, man. Appreciate that. In the early years, I was the financier of the church. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. Me and my wife are the biggest givers of this church. Just because we're going to do what we say. I'm not going to rely on, you know, other people. I'm going to live for God. And then what it's taught is then all the rest of you start being men and women of integrity and kind of living for God. Oh, this stuff really does work. This tithing stuff, really, it works, you see. And then all of a sudden, you know, now the church bought the sound. I have sound right back there that we take on the road. It's my sound. Then the church started paying for these buildings debt-free. We don't owe anything right here. Every bit of this was done debt-free. Just ask. Ask so concrete guy right over there. This ground right here, it's not cheap. That concrete is very expensive to put in the ground nowadays. You better have faith in God. You better have faith in the Word of God. That's what this is meaning by don't live by bread alone. I mean, yeah, it'll help your bodies. No, you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's this Bible. Everything in it is good for us. All you got to do is start growing in it. You want a good marriage? Start finding out what does the Bible say about marriage? It talks about submission. Not just the woman submitting to a man. It talks about the man submitting to the woman. You know, religion has really messed up a lot of the Word of God. Well, it takes both of us. Both Jamie and I to communicate. And say, hey, I didn't like how you talked to me yesterday. And then it takes her to go, oh, I apologize. I didn't. And it takes her to, well, I apologize for talking to you that way, but you don't need to let your feelings be on your shoulder. And then it takes me, what'd you say, woman? I mean, it takes me saying, you know, you're right. You're right. Why would I, you know, feel that way when you hit me with the broom? I mean, no, this is fake. This is not real. Do they think it's real? Oh, my bad. It's like that preacher. I got to tell this, man. It was the funniest thing ever, y'all, and I'm done. But this is like the preacher's third close. I mean, you always get three or four. This preacher is in a revival, and the associate preacher and his wife are sitting there. I've told this before. I got to tell the rest of you, though. And the man that was doing the revival says, you know what? We need to just, if you have lust in your life, you come down and get set free from it right now. And that associate pastor gets up. His wife is fuming. What little floozy has he been messing around with? And she's looking at all the women of the church. Which one of it is you? And he just, man, getting delivered, and he comes and sits down all happy, and she's just like, I cannot believe you. He's like, what? You're cheating on me. You got lust in your life. He said, no, I don't. I went up because I've been lusting over ice cream. She said, that's not what you told those people. It was just Bluebell ice cream. I never laughed. Oh, my Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that there's one person here that does not know you as Lord. They would begin to know you right now, as the Word of God says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, draws all men unto you. So I ask you to draw someone that's here or watching to you right now. I ask you to soften their heart and just let them know that you love them no matter what. Doesn't matter sin, you died for it. What they've done in their past, it doesn't matter. You died for every bit of that. It's called redemption. It's called forgiveness. If there's one person here, sir, that does not know you as Lord, I ask you to cause them to give their lives to you right now by praying a prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know what would happen to you. if you die. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I'm going to ask you. I can't make you. There's not a preacher ever that can make you give your life to him, to Jesus. All we can do is set it before you. That's what this Bible is. Deuteronomy 30 says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And I'm asking you this morning to choose life by receiving Jesus as Lord. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you get born again and you stand before God when you die, the Bible calls it the great judgment day, and Jesus is your Lord, he'll say, well done, come on into heaven and enter the joy or the rest of the Lord. You see, people, you deserve it. But Jesus is the one that causes you to deserve it. You're worthy of salvation. So the question this morning is Jesus your Lord or is he not? Do you not know what would happen to you if you died? Have you thought about heaven? Have you thought about hell? I'm asking you right now to give Jesus your life if you never have. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me out loud, but not by yourself. I'm going to ask this congregation that's saved. You know you're born again. Jesus is your life and Lord. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer as well. But if you're not saved, then we're just going to pray it with you. Ask Jesus to come into your life and save you. And then you can start living for him. That's why you come to church. That's why you get into the Bible and learn, what does the Bible say about you? Man, it's a good book. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with all of us. And it's going to take you praying it out loud. That's what Jesus instructed in this book, because he is the Word. He says, confess. You can't confess Jesus underneath your breath. You cannot confess thinking it in your heart. It has to be a spoken prayer. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Would you do that this morning? With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, and even if you are born again, would you pray this prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life? You ready? Just repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I want to go to heaven. I do not want to go to hell. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. And thank you for saving me. I make you my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Just before we say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, if you're watching or if you're in this congregation, if you just did that, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and say, God, I just gave my life to you, and then just put it right back down. The reason I have you do that is the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. Don't ever, ever be afraid to let people know that you're a Christian, that Jesus is your Lord. And it'll start right now by you saying, Jesus just came into my life. So when I count to three, if that's you and you just gave your life to Jesus, raise your hand up. Let me see it and then just put it down. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to confess Jesus before me. Would you do that? You just gave your life to Jesus. When I say three, get it up. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, look at me, everybody. As y'all know, very, very seldom, is there just, one and no one that gives their lives to the Lord at this church. It's just the way God birthed this church. It's amazing how, 5-6 people gave their lives last week. the week before several. And there are times when everybody's saved. Everybody's born again. I understand that. But this message then means it was for all of us that need to live by the Word of God. Amen? And so let's start getting... I made a decision in my life that when I eat breakfast, I'm going to eat the spiritual word as well. I mean, I'm just making it... Usually it's different for me. But I just decided, you know what? I want to start. And then I might even end by a word. I just know that when I lay down and start reading the Bible, I'll read one word and I'm out. So I try... I don't do it at the end of night. Not when I go to bed. I'm out. So I want to do it started in the morning. And so let's live by this word. Amen. All right. Did y'all have a good time? All right. Real fast before we're dismissed. As y'all know, the rodeo is next weekend. Starts this Thursday. We'll have the carnival starting to set up this week. We're just going to be real busy getting the arena ready. I don't think we have to have, another volunteer.